It's my plea that the message of the Quran be widely spread. May the flag of Islam become more elevated than the rest.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has said that a person who sends 1,000 times durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatam wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habib Allah. Dearest Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, last week in this silsila, Blessings of Quran of Madani channel, we discussed the ayat number 36 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And many things about Hazrat Adam alayhi salam were mentioned. And in order to complete the topic, we will inshallah azza wa jal discuss few more things about Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. We discussed about the tricks of Shaitan and how Adam alayhi salam came out of the paradise. And there are some interesting informations about Hazrat Adam alayhi salam which are mentioned in Tafsir Azizi. That Hazrat Adam alayhi salam is the first one to manufacture clothes. So he established the art of manufacturing clothes. And then later on, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam did farming. So he was a farmer as well. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam was a carpenter. And Hazrat Idris alayhi salam was a tailor. Hazrat Hud and Hazrat Salih alayhim salam, they were businessmen. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was a farmer as well. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam looked after goats for a while. And Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam used to make armors. And Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, while he was a great king, he used to make fans and bags with the leaves of the trees or straws. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in some times in his life, also looked after goats. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a successful, a trustworthy, a reliable, known as Sadiq and Amin businessman. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam always drank rain water. He never drank water from any well. And he actually made coins from gold and silver. So the money was actually established in the form of coins of gold and silver by Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. When the soul of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was about to depart, he desired, he wished to eat some jannati fruits. And he said to his sons, go to Makkah Mukarrama and around the Kaaba make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide me fruits from Jannat because that is my desire. So the children of Adam alayhi salam, they came to Makkah al-Mukarrama and they met with Hazrat Jibreel Amin alayhi salam and several other angels. And the sons of Adam alayhi salam told the desire of Adam alayhi salam to the angels. And they said, let's go with us because we have brought some fruits from Jannah. So however, they all went to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and when Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha saw the angels, she got scared. And she wanted to hide herself in the lap of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And Hazrat Adam alayhi salam said to Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha that, O Hawa, stay away from me at this time and do not be an obstacle between me and the envoys of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So then the ruh of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was removed from his body, and the angels said to the children of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam that you people must look carefully the way we will give ghusl and kafan and burial to your father. That's the way you should practice if anyone dies amongst you. So there was a teaching process for them as well. So Jibreel Amin alayhi salam, he gave ghusl and kafan, and he brought khushbu, perfume or itr from Jannat, which was put on his body and kafan. And leaves were brought from a berry tree from Jannat. And water was boiled with that, and then the ghusl was given. The angels, they carried the blessed body of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and they brought to Kaabatullah. So Hazrat Jibreel Amin alayhi salam was imam to perform the namaz janaza of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and all other angels, they read namaz behind Hazrat Jibreel Amin alayhi salam. And they read four takbirs. As we read four takbirs in janaza, so it actually started from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and Hazrat Jibreel Amin alayhi salam did that. And then at a distance of 3 miles from Makkah al-Mukarrama, at the place of Mina, where the Haji slaughter animals, where Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam took his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam to slaughter, exactly at that place, next to or near to Masjid-e-Khayf, he was buried, and his qabr was made like from top, like the hump of a camel. And that is actually sunnah, to make the qabr like the hump of a camel. So we understand from here that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam's grave is in Mina next to Masjid-e-Khayf. And Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha is buried in Jeddah Sharif. So her grave is in Jeddah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, after listening to this beautiful story, we learn few beautiful Madani flowers from this story. Number one, that no one must think that Shaitan is far from them. And nobody must trust their taqwa or piety. Think that, you know, Shaitan can't do anything to me. I'm a very pious person. I'm very holy. I'm upright. Now look at the story of Shaitan and Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Now look at the status of Jannat and a Nabi. Jannat is the most safe place and Nabi is masoom. He is free from sins. So he deceived a person who is free from sins, who is at the most safe place. So what about us? We are in the dunya which is not safe. And we are not sinless. We are full of sins. So how vulnerable we are for Shaitan. How easily he can attack us. So therefore, we must always be afraid and seek refuge in Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal from Shaitan, the rejected one. So this wird, this dhikr, must always be on our tongues. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. I seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan, the rejected one. And number two, a lesson which we learn from this verse, that Shaitan uses women to destroy many big people, many great people. It is mentioned in a narration that women are the ropes of Shaitan. So he throws those ropes to tangle people so they can fall, so they can be off the track. And when they are off the track, of course, they will not be on the right path. So he uses women very often, as we learn in the story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, that he used Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha to make Hazrat Adam alayhi salam eat that fruit which was prohibited. So we have to be very careful in that department as well. So these are lessons for us to learn. And number three, we learn that when a person makes mistake, it is possible that the ni'mats, the bounties, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which he possesses can be snatched away. As Hazrat Adam alayhi salam made one khata, one mistake, and all the ni'mats which he had possessed in the Jannat were taken from him. So if sometime a ni'mat is taken away from us, our condition is such that we start complaining, we start questioning, what wrong did I do, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this to me, why he has taken that back to me, I had good business, I had, you know, a lot of wealth, I was living comfortably, now everything is taken away from me. What wrong did I do? I read my namaz, I do this and I do that. But people don't realize how many sins they commit. So this is a lesson for us, that if ni'mat has been taken away from us, it is possible that because we have done something wrong, maybe we have committed a sin, we have made a mistake. So this must be the mindset of a believer. One needs to keep in mind that ni'mat can be taken away, can be snatched away at any time, because we are not worthy of ni'mat. We are sinners. So if we are getting ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is His fadl. That is His blessing, His mercy. And also we learn that although everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the respect, the correct manners, the way of respect is this, that when someone does something wrong, he must relate that to himself or to shaitan. But when he does something right, good, praiseworthy, or any good deed or act of thawab, he must relate to that. Relate to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, that it happened because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled me, or He blessed me to do this, or He empowered me with His divine power. So that's why I was able to do something good. Like in this story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, when a mistake happened, then the relationship of that act was made to shaitan, that shaitan caused it. It's not said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused it. And then Hazrat Adam alayhi salam related that mistake to himself and he said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. O Allah, we have oppressed upon ourselves. But what did the shaitan said? He said, Aghwaitani. Ya Allah, you have misguided me. So he related the wrong to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. But then what is the outcome? What's the difference? That shaitan became mardood, the rejected one, and Hazrat Adam alayhi salam remained mahbub, the beloved, because he followed the path of adab, he followed the path of respect. So there's a lesson for us, that if we do something good, we must always relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these days we find many people, if they do something good, maybe they help someone, they give charity, they build up a masjid, then they'll make the announcement, tell everyone that, you know, I did this, my family did this, my father did this. So relating good things to themselves. When we do something wrong, we must say that it happened because of my nafs. It happened because of my own bad character. It happened because of my own evil. And when we do something good, we must say that it has happened with the tawfiq of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. It happened because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it possible. And we also learn that one should never be careless from his enemy. Must always think that his enemy is chasing him. So never give a chance to his enemy to attack him or to destroy him. So there is a concept of self protection, self-security, that is important. If there is a danger, if there are enemies, so one should be alert and make sure that whatever is required for protection, that is brought into practice. See, shaitan was enemy of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, so he chased him around. He never stopped till he attacked him and he harmed him. So this point or Madani flower we learn from the story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And also we learn another very important matter, and that is that when someone talks very sweet, very flowery, so we should not get carried away because of that flowery, juicy, beautiful discussion with organized words. Because sometimes person's tongue and his heart are not the same. Maybe he's using that tongue, maybe he's using those words which are impressing you, but he is there to destroy you. As it happened in the story of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Shaitan, that he came and he talked so nice, that I'm your well-wisher, I am here to give you nasiha, I want you to live in Jannah forever, and you must not die. And he acted, you know, death is very painful, so many, you know, proofs that he gave. He demonstrated so many things, and he gave many intellectual discussions and debates and arguments, and then finally he took qasams. So from every angle he tried to convince Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. But was he sincere with Adam alayhi salam? No, he was not sincere. He was enemy and he wanted to destroy him. So this is a lesson for us to learn. These days we get carried away by the talks which can mesmerize you, which can be very flowery with beautiful organized words and sentences, with good language, and person can be impressed very quickly, as it happens around us every now and then. People are orators, they're good speakers, and they can talk good language, Urdu, Arabic, English, and they can put up big debates, and on the name of Islam they would look as if they are rendering great service to the deen of Islam. But they're really causing fitna in Islam, they're hurting Muslims, they're causing disunity. They're bringing new thoughts which never existed, which breaks Muslim togetherness and unity. So these are lessons for us to learn, that just by nice words we must not just get carried away, as Shaitan used nice words for Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Then on this story there are some questions and some objections. We'll discuss few of them inshallah. The one question that arises very often, and that is that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam committed sin, and a one who commits sin, how can he be regarded ma'soom? How can he be called sinless? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in Quran Kareem, وَعَصَىٰ آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَىٰ. It shows very clearly that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam disobeyed his Lord. And he also said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. He admitted that I made a mistake. So from here we understand that it is not correct to believe that the prophets are ma'soom or they are sinless. That is a question, an objection from a particular group of people, from a particular school of thought. They believe that anbiya are not ma'soom. So, in order to answer this question, we have to keep in mind that Anbiya alayhim salam are totally free from kufr, from shirk, and from kabira sin committed deliberately. That's the one thing that we need to keep in mind. The second thing we need to keep in mind is that they are also free from saghira sin, minor sin, they are masoom from minor sin, which is contrary or against to the status of nabuwwat. However, by mistake or by forgetfully, it is possible to commit a saghira sin which is not against the status of nabuwwat or the prophethood. So whatever has happened from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, that was era of judgment, what is called in Shari istilah as ijtihadi khata. There are many proofs which will tell us that the prophets alayhi salam are ma'soom, they're sinless, and we'll discuss few of them. First proof is that a sinner is a fasiq. And in Sharia, to oppose a fasiq is necessary. And to obey a Nabi of Allah is fard. So now, the difficulty is that if he is a sinner, then you have to oppose him. And at the same time, if he is Nabi, you have to follow him. So this is what is called in the terminology of mantik, ijtima'i ziddain, that two opposing things are getting together, and for two opposing things to be together is impossible. You cannot have light and darkness together. You cannot have fire and water together. Because these are opposing realities, and opposing things cannot be together. So you cannot oppose one person at the same time follow him and take his following as necessary upon you. So therefore, one has to believe that Nabi is sinless. Nabi is ma'soom. The second dalil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem that do not take the words of fasiq without investigating it, without researching it, without assessing it. And it is necessary to take the words of Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal without assessing, without investigation. So if the Nabi is fasiq, then this would mean that you don't have to accept his words unconditionally, you have to investigate. But because he's a Nabi, his words are necessary for you to follow. Again, same problem. Ijtima'i ziddain, that two opposing things are getting together. That is impossible. Therefore, you have to believe that a Nabi of Allah is ma'soom, he is sinless. So when he's sinless, you would then have to follow his words without any tahqeeq, without any investigation, without any assessment. The third proof is that shaitan is pleased with a sinner. That is the reason that a sinner is in hizbush shaitan. A fasiq is in the party of shaitan. And a pious person is that with whom Allah is pleased. Rahman is pleased. And that is the reason that he is in Hizbullah. He is in the party of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So if a prophet, if a Nabi becomes sinner in any moment, in any second, it would mean that for that second, he joined the party of Shaitan. He joined Hizbul Shaitan. Further, if a Prophet commits a sin, if he's a sinner, and at that time when he's committing sin, and if any of his ummati is doing the good deed at that time, then who's greater? The one who is committing sin or the one who is doing the good deed? Of course, the one who is doing the good deed would be greater than the one who is committing sin. So that means it is possible for an ummati to become greater than Nabi, and this is totally false. This is batil. That's not possible. It cannot happen. So therefore, we have to believe that the Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal is ma'soom, and Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal is sinless. The fourth proof, the fourth dalil, the prophets are greater than angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, Inna Allah astafa Adama wa Nuham wa ala Ibrahim wa ala Imrana ala al-alameen. Surah Ali Imran, verse number 33. From here we learn that all the prophets are greater than every other being in this universe. And in this universe there are angels as well. So, if the Nabi is greater than angel, then that means they must be masoom. They have to be masoom in order to be greater than angels, because angels are masoom. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem about angels, La ya'asoon Allah. That angels do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means they do not commit sins. They're not fasiq. They don't become fasiq. They don't commit sins. And now if one believes that Nabi can commit sin, that means Nabi would be lower than an angel in status. And that is not possible. Anbiya are greater than angels. So for us to believe, or to be correct in this belief, that Anbiya are greater than angels, we have to believe that Anbiya are masoom and they are sinless. And the fifth proof is that it's mentioned in Quran Kareem, and it's proven from Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to shaitan that your tricks would not be successful on my special slaves, on my special servants. And shaitan also said that, O Allah, I will destroy everyone except your special slaves who are sincere with you. And of course they are prophets and they are awliya, they are pious people. He said, I cannot do anything. My tricks would not work on them. And Hazrat Salih alayhi salam also said to the people, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ. That I do not intend, I don't wish to go against that from which I stop you. If I stop you from something, I won't do that. Means, I will stop you from sin, so I won't commit the sins. So that is a Nabi of Allah who's saying that, I don't even make irada, I don't even intend, I don't even desire to do that. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that shaitan will not become ghalib over the prophets. Shaitan will not dominate the prophets alayhimus salam. And Anbiya alayhimus salam also say, we don't intend to commit sin. Shaitan also says that my tricks cannot be successful on the prophets, on the special servants of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Now if someone thinks that Nabi can commit a sin, Nabi is a sinner. A Nabi is not ma'soom. He is not sinless. He is worse than shaitan in his aqeedah. Because shaitan at least believes that much, that I would not make your special servants to commit sin. But here as a person, he says, no, it's Anbiya, they commit sins and they bring proofs and they put arguments and etc. So for us to be strong believers and to be on the right path, we have to believe that Prophets alayhimus salam are sinless and they are ma'soom. And this we learn from this beautiful discussion of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And there's another question that people normally ask, that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was taken out of Jannah. He made a mistake. We didn't make a mistake. So why must we suffer? If we were in the Jannah, we would have been having the ni'mats of Jannah, no worry, no sorry, no problems, no fights. So we would have stayed there. We would have been, you know, so comfortable. In the dunya, we got this problem, that problem. Why did we come in the dunya? Because Hazrat Adam alayhi salam came in the dunya, so we came in the dunya. So some ignorant people, they talk this type of things. So the answer to this objection or question is that this is totally wrong. That we are in the dunya because Adam alayhi salam came in this dunya. Actually, the story is other way around. That Adam alayhi salam came into the dunya because of us. Because he was carrying our souls. We were in his backbone. And many of us are bad people. We are sinners. We do wrong things. And wrong things cannot be happening. The sins cannot be happening. And even from amongst people, they are kuffar and they are disbelievers and they cannot be in the Jannah. So in other words, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was told that, O Adam, you go and take this impurity out from you and make yourself clean and then come back. So this is your place, this is your house. You have been brought here, but you carrying all these people, that they have filth in them. You go in the dunya, drop them there, and then come back. So, he has not caused any problem for us, but we are the one that have caused problem. So, we must take the blame. Don't put the blame upon Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. So these were some interesting and beautiful things that we learn from this ayah kareema. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to have proper and thorough understanding of Quran kareem. May we become the lovers of Quran kareem. We may recite Quran kareem regularly and understand its meanings from Sahihul Aqeedah, authentic Sunni ulama. آمين بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. May the flag of Islam become more